Today is we're gonna do part three of three for Tochein. We have kind of have to cram a bunch of things into this shiur because we're not gonna have shiur for the next few weeks. So what we have for today is we're gonna talk about some practical halachas. We're gonna not do some of the more background material. We're just gonna try to do halachas so we can have a fuller understanding of Tochein, of grinding. Just a quick review of Tochein, and then a little bit of a review of what we did last week. Right, Tochein is grinding, is crushing, but we said that a tolda, one of the other forms of it, is cutting something into fine pieces. Cutting something very, very finely is considered to be Tochein. So we said that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, cutting something very finely, is Tochein, right? He doesn't say exactly what the size is, but cutting it very finely is Tochein. And the Rama says, but if you do it for immediate use, it's okay, right? So, i.e., you can make your salad right before you eat it, right before lunchtime, because cutting it into small pieces for immediate use is okay. We saw that the Mishnah Berurah kind of scaled that back a little bit. He said, better to be machmir here. So at the end of the day, what the basic, if you want to really just be safe, the basic halacha is cut it a little bit bigger. That's what the Mishnah Berurah recommends. Cut it a little bit bigger. We said, what is a little bit bigger? That's a hard shear to define. What's a little bit bigger? So maybe a little bit bigger than you normally would, or some of the contemporary postgames say just bigger than like a little powder, right? Which lets you get away with a lot more. But we're gonna try to be safer here. We're gonna say cut it a little bit bigger, and you'll be okay. That's
For
immediate use, yes. For immediate use. You can cut it into big pieces for later use too. We're talking about cutting something more finely, like you want to make your salad or something like that, for immediate use. So cut it into pieces that are a little bit bigger. That's what the Mishnah Berurah recommends to do. Yeah, so we saw that there are other poskim that are more makel. We'll see some more today that are more makel. But really, to be safe, that would be the best thing to do. So then last week we talked about the mashing bananas on Shabbos, which is one of those classic contemporary questions. Can you mash a banana on Shabbos for a kid, or just mashing avocado or something like that, right? Anything that has that same kind of idea. So we saw last week that it was a big machlokas. The Chazon Ish said you can't do it. He thinks that that's the equivalent of mashing it, cutting it into very, very fine pieces. He says it's only held together by the lachluchi, by the moisture. If there wasn't any moisture, all the banana would be separated. It's the equivalent of separating it. The Chazon Ish said that, I think he said it's a karav lachatos, maybe. He was not, don't mash the bananas. We saw that Rav Moshe Feinstein has a long tshuva where he thinks that it's okay. Certainly, if you do it for immediate use, it's okay. He doesn't think that it's considered to be mashed, to be tochen at all, because all you're doing is taking something and crushing it. It's still one substance. It's not many substances. We saw Rav Avadya Yosef basically agrees with Rav Moshe on this issue, right? That you shouldn't, that you can crush the bananas. That's not considered to be tochen. Then how you paskin is going to depend. Some of the svarim quote the Chazon Ish that you really, really have to be very, very careful about crushing bananas. Don't crush bananas. Don't crush bananas on Shabbos because it could be close to chatas. It could be aser. Other poskim take the approach of Rav Moshe. And then there was something that we didn't see inside the from last week from Rabbi Mann at the Ask the Rabbi. He does the OU column where his conclusion basically was that even though he quotes the poskim who fall in line with Rav Moshe. This is just from last week's. He says that what you can't, you should try to do it with a shinoi, and that's what we're going to talk more about in a few minutes today. We're going to, maybe towards the end. He said that you can do a shinoi, crushing something with a shinoi would be permitted. So that's what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But that was basically last week's shiur. If anybody wants, I can email that tshuva at the end from Rabbi Mann, which basically it was a very, very short digest form of everything that we've seen last week. So I can email.
What is the premise that if you do with a shinoi that helps?
So we're going to talk about shinoi. We're going to talk about shinoi. We're going to talk about shinoi in a few minutes. An alteration or a change. It's a difference in how you do and how you do it. And how you do it. Right. So shinoi, just as a topic, we're going to have to hold off on a little bit more. We're going to do more detailed on the next malacha that we do, but we'll do enough of it to be able to talk about this malacha. So we start off, we're going to do, like I said, just a run through now of these other tochein topics here, so that we can, we'll finish it today, and we'll have a good overview of the malacha of tochein, of grinding. So from source one, from today's shir, from today's packets, we have the Shulchan Aruch says in Shinchov Aleph Tet, Mutar lachtoch basar mevushal otsali dak bisakin. You're allowed to cut cooked meat or roasted meat very finely with a knife. Okay? You can do that very finely, which seems to be a chiddush. It seems to be a novel idea, because the Shulchan Aruch himself said you can't cut finely. Right? The Ramah is the one who says you could do it for immediate use. The Shulchan Aruch just said you can't cut anything finely. So now he's telling us here this idea that you can do something. You can cut something that was meat, specifically meat, that was cooked with a knife. So why? What's the difference here?
He means slices now, Rob.
He means anything. Not just slices. We talked also about how slices were probably mutter. You can probably cut something into slices. We also talked about that a week or two ago. He's talking just any... Yeah, cutting it whichever way you want. Crisscross, whatever. Cutting it very, very finely. That you're going to end up with very small... Smaller, let's say... smaller than if you would have... Cutting into small pieces, the result would be smaller than an Israeli saddle. Let's say he would. It sounds like he would say that's okay. You can cut it very, very small. So why is that? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us that we have a concept, and this is source 2, Lamed Aleph, the Ein Trina Ela Bigidulei Karka, that grinding tochein only applies to something that had grown from the ground. Meat does not grow from the ground. Therefore, tochein does not apply to it. So why is an interesting question. Why do we say ein tochein ela legdulei karka? Rabbi Ribiyat here has a whole bunch of... We'll see the Mishnah Berurah in a minute where he kind of quotes some of these. So hold off on that for a second. So continuing this in this Mishnah Berurah, v'afilu l'poskim disfirulei de behema nami mikrei gidulei karka. And even the poskim who say that an animal is considered to be gidulei karka l'fi shehi nizonet min hakarka, because it receives its nourishment from the ground. We had that once before. We had this idea about an animal being gidulei karka. Oh, I'm pretty sure we had it once before.
Yeah, I mentioned it, yes.
Maybe by Dush? By Dush, maybe, we might have had it before, that it's possible. So he says, there is an idea that an animal is considered to be gidulei karka, but mikol makom, ein leso brazed, devolav hachi yesh poskim misfir leidei ein shach tichinei ba'ochlen, right? Taking us back to our fundamental overview is that most Rishonim say that you are allowed to grind or cut your food very finely. Most Rishonim. And then we saw this from Rav Avadya Yosef, where he said, last week, where he says that our starting point really is going to be almost everybody says it's mutter to do. But because the Shulchan Aruch says it's usur, we're going to be able to combine it with other reasons to allow it. We're going to join in other reasons to be matir to allow it. So one of those reasons is this one. He says that it really there's not ochlin but tchina ba ochlin. So because of that, we would allow you to cut meat because it doesn't grow from the ground. Even if you're not using it for immediate use, you can cut your meat because we're saying tochein doesn't apply. Tochein doesn't apply. This is going to have very practical ramifications. We're going to see this in a few. How this applies in a few minutes. Skipping lamed bet, we'll go to lamed gimel. What's the reason for this? The hoil v'chulei wrote zelomer de ikal amemer de tama poskim de sfirlei de ain tchina ba'ochlein haynu yishum de ain sarach tchina de I by achilei kemoshu shalim, right? Because you could eat and you probably could eat the food as it is. So if something you could eat as is, there's not going to be any problem in just cutting it into smaller pieces. So that could be why. So gidulei karka, and if it like meat, you could eat that as is. You could eat meat as is. So we could say, no, there's no tochein, because you could just, you're, right, well, somebody had this far a few weeks ago, I don't remember who said it, right? What's the difference between chewing it with your teeth and cutting it with a knife? It's already edible. It's edible to begin with. You didn't change it. Masha einakin bazed, de ein yecholin la'achlo, fine. So, and then, the skipping, if you were hachituch mashvelei ochel, or we say that cutting it very finely creates ochel, is the act that turns it into food. Here, the meat that's cooked already was already created as food, so... Whatever, there's the Rabbi Ribbi quotes a few other svaras, but in any event, what we have here now, our rule is that tochein,
welcome.
Tochein does not apply to something that is not gedulei karka. So now, how does this apply? So Rabbi Ribbi at here quotes a few good examples for us. So here we can. Rabbi Ribiat here quotes a few good examples of this for us, and I put some of them here on page in source 3. Based upon this principle, it is permissible to chop meat or mash tuna fish. Right, tuna fish is not something that's gidulei karka, so if you wanted to make a tuna salad or something like that, you could just do it in a regular way. You can take take your the back of your fork. We're going to see later that, that's considered to be like some type of normal way. Take your fork, push down. You can crush the tuna fish with your fork. Or eggs. Here you go. Here's your eggs. You could do eggs on Shabbos, source 3, or cheese. All these things... All these things are not gidulei karka. They don't grow from the ground. Therefore, you could really cut them very finely on Shabbos. And he says it is also permissible to chop and mash liver even very finely for this reason. I guess, I don't know how you make chopped liver. I assume the liver's cooked, so it's already certainly. We're going to come to Hogmessers again. We're going to come back to there.
But for liver,
that's actually going to be the next question, yeah.
You can't mush it. You can't make it into that very, very fine thing. Right, because
why? We're gonna say you can. No, you can. You can. You can. You can. It's not gedulei karka. You can. There's an important caveat here that we're gonna come to in a moment. But you can. You can take it and crush it. It's not gedulei. Tochen doesn't apply to it. If it didn't grow from the ground, tochen doesn't apply. So just where since this is the final sheet, we're kind of skipping over some of the background material. We're jumping straight to more practical halacha. So what we saw is the Shulchan Aruch, and we saw the Mishnah Berurah here that says that tochen only applies to gedulei karka, to things that grow from the ground. If it's not gedulei karka, like fish, eggs, cheese, meat, or something like that, you can do it even very finely, and that's the halacha. But there's a very, very important caveat to be aware of for this, and that we're going to see in the next source. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, "Aser ligrur hagvina b'Shabbos b'morei charutz ba pipiot shakorein raliyav." I don't know how you pronounce that. So you're not allowed to grate cheese on Shabbos with this special cheese grater that was used. So we're going to see. We're going to see. The Mishnah Berurah quotes two reasons based on I think the Rivash. We're going to see in a second why. But what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us is that if there's a special object that you use to normally grind something or cut it very finely, you can't use that. So you can't use the cheese grater to grate your cheese, but you could take a knife and cut it into small pieces as you can imagine. You can't do it. So why not? So the Mishnah Berurah in Source 5, and there's two different Mishnah Berurahs here. This is in Sif Katan Lamid Vav. So he gives us a different name for this, Bala Riv Eisen. Okay, so why can't you use the cheese grater on Shabbos? Dekevan shehakli miyuchad l'chach reizeh derech chol. So the first thing he says is that this is like uvda dechol. This is the way you normally do it in the weekday, in the week. That I think it's a hard, uvda dechol is a hard... hard to necessarily define and apply. We apply it in some situations, but because it's uvda dechol, it's the way that you normally would have done it during the week. We tell you don't do it that way on Shabbos. That's his first reason. And his second reason is v'dami l'shchikat tavlin b'machteshet. He says also that if you use the grater, it's too similar to grinding it in a machteshet, in a real grinder, which you wouldn't have been able to do. Right, it's gonna maybe produce a result that's very similar if you use a grater. I was wondering maybe if your grater, you know, they have different sizes. If you're using a big one, it maybe that doesn't necessarily apply. But he says it's similar too similar to grinding that he's gonna allow it. V'hu adin. Now at the end of the top line in 5, b'chli acher hamiyuchad l'chach. This is gonna apply to any special kli that you normally use to do something. To cut some, to a special cleat that you normally use to cut it into fine pieces, you would not be able to use that. Even for immediate use, right? We know, so normally immediate use, you know, a lot goes. Not a special cleat that normally is used to cut something very finely that you can't. We'll have also some more practical, like a shred or something like that. You could not do that on Shabbos, even on a something that even on cheese or even on tuna. I don't know how you do tuna or eggs or whatever you normally would have done. You can't use the special thing. We're going to talk about egg slicers in a minute or two. Right, that's another
egg slicer.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
That's right.
Okay, so says the Mishnah Berurah. Avam mutar lechatcho b'sakin dakdak. You could take a knife and cut these things, and cut the non-gidulei karka. Cut the cheese. You can cut cheese and eggs and tuna and chopped meat and all the other examples, but you can't use the kli hamiyuchad lechach, the something that is a special thing that you normally use to cut those things. So then he says, fine, kumola ela, like we said above in Siftet. So we'll skip the rest of this Mishnah Berurah, go to the next Mishnah Berurah, and Mem Hei. This is something that we did a few weeks ago. But using a kli hamyuchad, a special kli that normally is used to cut some, to cut it finely. Nira de aser b'chol gavne kishachot chodak dak. That's going to be aser. You can't use the kli hamyuchad, the special grater, to cut. Right. Then he says because it's similar to borer degam beborer gufa degam im bekli hamyuchad lebrera b'chol gavne chayev like borer. Right, if you use the borer kli like we spoke of in borer chayev deraisa ulufiza mistarba deyesh lizar b'mashinogin lachtoch b'tzolim dak dak im dag maluach. And so he says you should be careful when you're cutting, using to cut very finely. Kiyotze shelo yichachim b'chli shekorin. Here's the hakmesser. He said just a review from what we did a few weeks ago. He said you shouldn't use this hakmesser. Who wants to describe? It's a chopper.
It's a blade. A chopper, yeah.
It's a chopper that has a handle on it. Just one blade, or there's more than one?
No, there was just one blade.
All right, yes.
Yeah.
Manually.
Yeah.
So he says you shouldn't use. So he says you shouldn't use a hakmesser because it's maybe that's considered to be a kli miyuchad. It's a kli specifically used to chop something very finely. And rock bisakin balma, just use a regular knife. So says the Mishnah Berurah, right? Maybe this hakmesser is a kli miyuchad. It's a special kli that's used to cut something finely. Don't do it. Yeah. The Aruch HaShulchan, we saw this a few weeks ago. He disagreed. He was not very happy with this. He says in source 6, V'ar'idi mifakbikim v'osrim lachtoch b'hakmesser ha-bitzalim. He says, I see that people are, they say that you shouldn't use it. Velon here really call, it's not clear to me. Sharei zahu gam kein sakin. He says, hold on, it's just a knife. That's what the hakmesser is. It's a knife with a handle. If you're allowed to use a knife, you're allowed to use this. And then Rivash, Chashash, Lesser, Ligro, Gvina, Bemorik, Choris, Vekorin, Lezer, Riv, Eisen, Shizehu, Asoy, Litchon, Dak, Dak, Kikamach. He says, when the Shulchan Aruch and the Rivash says that you can't use the cheese grater, that's only talking about something that's going to produce a very, very fine result. Because at the end of the day, a cheese grater is also kind of just like a knife with, you know, it's like 10 knives or whatever put together. So he says, really, the Isra is producing a result that's very, very fine. If you're using something that's going to make bigger, like your cheese, I guess, some cheese graters really do make a kind of powdery or very, very little pieces. And other cheese graters have like short slices. So he's basically saying, if you're going to use those and make it into the short slices version, that's probably okay, says the Aruch HaShulchan.
So then the Inyan of Masachol doesn't apply.
Okay, so Uvda Dechol, so Rav Moshe has a tshuva that is coming up in the next source where he doesn't think that Uvda Dechol applies in this case. Mm-hmm. He thinks that really the Rivash didn't even mean Uvda Dechol. He says, why not Uvda Dechol? He says, what are you accomplishing by using one of these graters or hakmesser or something like that? You're just saving yourself time. That's what he says. You're making it easier for you. He's not going to say this Uvda Dechol for something that instead of you spending 8 minutes cutting everything with one knife back and forth, you just use a chopper or you use the grater or something like that. Odechol is what you everyday use, something that you do normally during the week. If it's a weekday activity, maybe that's the, if it's a weekday activity, then don't do it on Shabbos. There's not, maybe we'll have to have a shiur also on that. There's a few examples of it. It's I think it's a harder to define application. But yeah, that's what Ramosha says. That so now we're already seeing we're kind of skipping ahead here. We'll come back in a second. But now we're kind of seeing where we're going to go for our egg slicers, right? What's an egg slicer? An egg slicer is basically four knives that are just the equivalent of a knife that's attached on a little piece, and you close it and you slice your egg. So we skip for a second. Where is it? Source 10. We'll come back to some of the ones that we skipped. But and Rabbi Ribia points this out. He gets this from the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. However, one may use an egg slicer to slice or even chop up eggs because it is essentially only a series of blades designed for slicing. It's not chopping or grinding. We're not doing anything. We're just taking knives and making it easier on ourselves, right? So, i.e., no uvda dechol. Hence, it is not viewed halachically as a grinding tool, but merely as a cutting utensil whose not use is considered uvda dechol. So basically, this is a very good practical takeaway: is that egg slicers are mutter on Shabbos. because one, you're because first of all, eggs are not gedulei karka, so right, so the tochen is not going to apply. And we said that you can't use the kli miyuchad, designated kli that is normally used to cut finely. So we're saying that's only something that probably produces a really small result or something like that. But an egg slicer, but if you use a knife, if you're using a knife, so this is just a knife times four. That's my understanding of it. Knife times four, so you could use the egg slicer. And then if we just, going back to the Hochmesser thing, Rav Moshe Feinstein in 7, at the beginning of Source 7, so they asked him, Ha'imu tor lach tochi rako dak dak behochmesser lechol alter, can you do it to eat immediately, like the Aruch HaShulchan says? And his answer is a one-line answer, mutar kidesavar baruch ha-shulchan chetzadak ma'od. So he says, yeah, it's mutar to use the hakmesser because the aruch ha-shulchan is right. All it is really a knife that you're using to cut the onions and cut whatever on Shabbos. You're not cutting it very finely. So he says it's mutar. Not only that, he says, the aruch ha-shulchan is tzadak ma'od, right? He says he's very correct, which is then, it's interesting that in his next few words, he says, aval min aroy lahachmir b'lo tzarech gadol. But better to be machmir, even though he thinks aruch ha-shulchan was 100% correct, right? Better, it's if you have an option of a hakmesser or of like the chopper or a knife, better to use a knife because the Mishnah Berurah didn't necessarily like the chopper, but if you need to, use it, right? If you want to save yourself time or anything like that, then Rav Moshe is no problem with you using one of those choppers on Shabbos. And then we'll the next source was basically where he talked about the Uvda Dechol. One important thing in Source 8 is Rabbi Rivia points out here that the exemption of Miyad does not apply where it's done with a specially designated grinding utensil, like we saw from the Mishnah Berurah, right? Just because you can't use that special grinding utensil, even on eggs or on tuna or something like that, for immediate use. Immediate use is not going to be a good enough heter for this, because at the end of the day, you're using something that maybe gives off this appearance, looks like tochen, produces a result that's similar to tochen, so you couldn't do it. So now, any questions? Anything? Okay, so we'll... there's a very good summary. Yeah.
Grind is when you do this procedure. The thing is, like, say you're making tuna fish, you're making egg salad, it has to be for immediate use for that meal that's coming up, or it could be used for like two meals later.
So what we're saying is that for this, you can use it for later use. If it's an egg or something that doesn't grow from the ground, you can use it for later. I believe the Mishnah Berurah said that. But right, because Dochen doesn't apply to it, so you could do a but. I said after we do lush, kneading, the next year we'll have a shear on this, but the other things you're going to have a problem with. If you put onions, you couldn't chop up your onions to put into the salad for later, because onions is a gidulei karka, so for some of the things, you could do it now, you could do it Shabbos morning for later on, but other things you can't, so that's why it's important to know. So for the
can you put in celery or anything like that?
You can, but I mean, you have to do it immediately before. That you can't do it in advance.
I see. Okay.
What if you have like this, like a hand chopper where you manual?
Okay.
It's got like three blades.
Rav Rimon in Source 11, he talks about that. So we'll see that here. Okay, so this is basically a summary in source 11. It's basically a summary of what we had here, and he kind of tells us, gives us a psak. So Rav Rimon says, as implied above, we kind of skip this part, but Rav Feinstein applies this allowance only to chituch, which is not defined as dak, right? Rav Moshe allowed you to cut something just if it's not very, very small. So therefore, one should not use a manual vegetable cutter which dices vegetables to the degree that it becomes difficult to differentiate between red peppers and tomatoes, right? Don't do it so small. Don't use you still can't use your manual cutter to make it so small, since such as this is considered to be dak. It's considered to be very fine. It is true that we have seen that there's good reason to even allow chituch dak close to eating, right? We saw miyad that was okay. However, he thinks that this allowance stems from the fact that it's derech achila, while the use of utensils of chituch is considered derech tchina, not achila. He thinks that therefore one should not allow it even proximate to eating. He thinks because this is not necessarily the same thing. This is not cutting with a knife. This is cutting it with a kli that's miyuchad. So therefore, since it's a kli that's miyuchad, immediate use isn't going to help you. But what the most important thing about like the manual vegetable cutter or something like that is the result that it's producing. If it's producing something really small, then we're going to tell you you can't use it. Right. But and that's where he continues. However, with regard to cutting food into larger pieces, it appears that one may be lenient to use even a manual vegetable cutter if it's producing larger pieces. So when the utensil creates larger cubes of vegetables and one can still differentiate between red peppers and tomatoes, right? They're big enough that you can tell what they are. This is not considered to be fine cutting. This activity is not defined as tchina, and even the problem of uvdin dechol is not applicable, like Rav Moshe said, just using something with six blades to make your life easier is not going to be uvdin dechol. In particular, there's reason to be lenient in this proximate to the meal. Certainly now we can say closer to the meal it's okay, because you're producing bigger pieces to begin with, which is probably mutter, and certainly to combine that with close to the meal, because according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a vegetable cutter is not considered a utensil designated for tchina. Okay, so Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't think that this was a special utensil to begin with, but a simple system of cutting blades. Therefore, one may be lenient la'alter, as it is appropriate to be lenient about chituch into large pieces with a knife. Just like with if you're cutting into large pieces with a knife, it would be mutter. So too with this manual vegetable cutter. So nevertheless, this remains somewhat difficult to ascertain, right? But there is a bit of a problem, as it may be that even large pieces are still considered to be doc. We spoke about this. We don't really know what's considered to be too fine, right? When we say you can't cut something fine on Shabbos, well, there's going to be a line that if you crossed it, it was too much. And if you didn't cross it, it was just enough. Right, we want to try to be careful to not even get close to that.
But we just said that if pieces are recognizable,
right?
It's not
that. Right, that's what Rabbi Mon thought. But he's recommending to be a little bit more careful than that. Even that's what you're right. You're right. He's saying what he says. Al pidin. But now he says it could. It's possible that since we don't really know what dak is, the bir halacha. That we saw last week or 2 weeks ago, quoted from the Rishonim. We said we have no idea. We don't know what it means. When we say that you can't cut it doc too finely, we don't know what that means. So therefore, be careful about it. So that's what he's saying. The Achronim still give suggestions about what they think the shear is to be too small, but I think most of them are also going to be like, well, we have to be careful here because the Rishonim say we don't know what the shear is.
So then being recognizable in itself is not enough.
Might not be enough, but yeah. If you make it if you figure out what the shear that's recognizable, make it a drop bigger than that, then like that's basically what he's saying, right? It doesn't have to be so much bigger.
More recognizable.
if it's in.
Everybody's hedging their bets. Bottom line.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
That's really. We'll see more. We're gonna see more of that. Even as we go. That was our starting point. Was the Mishnah Berurah said that Ramah said it's okay to do it for immediate use, and the Mishnah Berurah says, well, really, we want to try to make it a little bit bigger, just to be okay.
Because recognizable is easy to understand, and unrecognizable is easy to understand. That's tchina.
Right. Okay, so I said so. You could choose unrecognizable, and instead of just making it a drop bigger, make it a drop more bigger.
Unrecognizable, recognizable plus.
Right, or unrecognizable plus two. That's So that's what he says. But then he says it may be that this device is considered a utensil which is designated for tchina, this manual vegetable cutter. So then you couldn't use it altered. Therefore, the last line in source 11 here, even though there's support for those who are lenient, it's preferable to cut up food with a knife, right? Preferable not to use some type of vegetable cutter that has a whole bunch of blades on it. Better to use a knife. Unless you know for a fact that it's producing a large result, which they probably don't do that, right? The whole point of them is to make smaller things.
Well, if you're using like a chopper,
yeah,
manual chopper. So the more you chop, the finer it's going to be.
Exactly.
So you could let me.
Get you say do it once, produce, yeah.
It doesn't automatically produce fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's how long.
Yeah, you know, you're right. So, yeah. No, sounds right.
It's
yeah.
How long you?
It's how many times? How many times you do? Yeah.
Choppers, it kind of like as you're chopping, it's also kind of going around in a circle so that it's going more evenly.
Right.
Like Gary said, so you do a little bit less.
Okay.
It's a gradual process.
Right.
Right. Okay. It might still be a klim yuchad l'chach.
Yes.
In which case, we would tell you don't make, you know, don't use it. So I don't know. I don't know. Interesting. Okay, so this is our second major topic for today. The first topic that we had was that Tochen doesn't apply to Gedulei Karka. The second topic we had was regarding Kli Miyuchad, that you shouldn't use a special Kli that normally is used to cut something finely, even to something that would have been fine for you to cut into as small pieces as you want, like our eggs and stuff, etc. We have a third concept. We're not going to really spend so much time on it. But the Shulchan Aruch that we've seen a few times, I skipped the Shulchan Aruch part just to get into the Ramah, where he says in the underlying part of Al Mutar Lifarer Lechem Lifnei Tarnagolim, you could crumble up bread in source 12 to give to the chickens. Dehoelu Kvar Nitchan Ein Lachush Ein Tochen Achar Tochen. Once something had been ground up before, Tochen does not apply to it. You could grind it again. So what's the reason? There's two reasons generally given. It's a little bit hard to understand. One of them, we'll come back to source 13 in a second, but in source 14, the Gross quotes a Tosefta who says that we have a general rule of malachas don't apply two times, right? We had ein bishel achar bishel. So he says, and there's a few other cases in the Tosefta. So he says this is the same thing, ein tochein achar tochein. The Chazon Ish.
So if we cut into larger pieces.
No, so the poskim say that any improvement from cutting into smaller pieces is a new tochen.
But then, so when, how can you have tochen?
So for a challah, you wanted to crumble up your challah. The flour was as fine as you could have gotten it the first time. It's impossible to have improved the flour. Cookies,
even though it's cooked now,
right. So Rabbi Ribiad here has another just a second example where he says. Crush a cookie into crumbs to put on top of a cake topping or something like that. The cookie, the flour had already been crushed to the as most as it could have been. So ein tochen achar tochen, you can take the cookie and crush it up. The Chazon Ish, I saw this quoted in a few different places. I think he says that we say ein tochen achar tochen, that tochen doesn't apply to a man-made substance. I think that's how people quote him as saying it. That if something naturally came together, then tochen would apply to it. But if it was, if you cooked your the challah, you cooked your cookies, or you did whatever you did, then the tochen is not going to apply to that product at the end. Some of this, again, there's not so many applications for this. Some of the other posts can talk about how really in some cases the first tochen was batel. Like apparently, I think with chocolate, I believe the way they make chocolate is they grind everything, but they do such a cooking process. Rei challah, you can kind of see how it's lots of whatever, maybe it's because it's more airy. It's not like as a distinct whole as like a piece of chocolate. So some of the boats can say, well, chocolate, because the first grinding of the cocoa beans was batel, then it would apply again. But there's not so many applications. I just thought that it was a good thing to know that if anybody wants to ever crumble up challah into your soup or crumble up something like that, like Rabbi Ribia quotes the cookies into crumbs to put on matzah into matzah meal, ein tochen achar tochen, right? The matzah was already ground already. You can crush your matzah to make it turn it into matzah meal on Shabbos. There's no tochen. There's no tochen over there. So this is our third topic for this morning, and then we have one more, and I think this is a big topic. We'll do it for the last few minutes here, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Or we'll see how long it takes. So the topic is shinoi, an alteration I skipped in source 13. The Mishnah Berurah says afilu b'sakin mutarim lo b'chli miyuched l'ktisha kegon. So even with ein tochen achar tochen, same as before, don't use the kli miyuchad. Don't use that special kli, which I'm not sure. There's not really a special kli for. You don't use a kli that normally is used to, I guess, the same thing. If you wanted to use the chopper to chop up your challah or something like that, or to chop up your cookies, right, the same thing as before is with the eggs. Don't, it's going to be the same, it's parallel, it's the same conclusion. Don't use that. So the final question that we're going to talk about is a shinoi, is an alteration. So we actually saw a shinoi come up a few times just in the background. It came up in the question about mashing bananas on Shabbos, where the Chazon Ish said, don't mash bananas, you can't do it. But if you use an alteration, you could mash up the bananas, which seems to be a bit strange. Usually, we say a shinoi doesn't really help so much for Shabbos. We're not going to allow you to do a malacha with a shinoi. Maybe you need a few shinois, maybe you need a few other extenuating circumstances. We don't normally do this. Tochein is one of the, I think, two malachas. I think we'll probably talk about this more in Lush when we get up to leash to kneading. But those are the two malachas where shinoi really plays a role that allows you to do the action. So what the Chazon Ish said with the banana was, use a shinoi, take the back of your, the handle of your spoon or fork or knife, or take your knife and crush it with the handle, or take your other utensil and crush it with the handle, and that would be the permissible way to crush the banana on Shabbos according to the Chazon Ish. So where does this whole idea come from? Where does the shinoi come from for Tochein? So the Gemara. The Gemara in Source 16, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, says, Amar Rav Yehuda, honey pilpale, so these are peppercorns, midok chada chada bekata disakina shari. If you crush them one by one with the handle of your knife, it's permissible. Tarte asir. But if you do two of them at a time, right, if you take two peppercorns and put it under your knife handle and crush it, that is asir, says Rav Yehuda. And Rava says, no, Rava Omar, Kevan Dimishani, once you made the shinoi, the change, the alteration, afilu tuvanami, you could even crush many peppercorns with that shinoi, with that alteration. So that's one source for this. We had a second source that we saw this by the banana source, is that, but when we talked about the bananas, is the Tosef in 17, Ein raskin devela v'grogeres v'charuvin lifnei zekenim b'shabes, you can't crush these, the figs or the dates or the caribs before the Zekanim and Shabbos, of Al-Mirasek Hu Biyad Shel Sakin. You could use the handle of a knife to crush these things, or the Be'et HaPar of Eino Choshesh, and there's no problems with this.
What's it to hold a knife near the hand, but do it in the same way as you would, you know what?
So that's not, I don't think that would be a shinoi. That's why we'll have to talk more about shinoi. I think if you just, if you took something in your other hand, that's not, I don't think that's enough of a shinoi.
It doesn't look like a shinoi.
Right, it's not, you're doing the same action. You're doing the same action.
It's just that, you know, you hear people writing with the other hand, not on Shabbos, right, so that, but on Chol HaMoed or something.
Right, so we have to have a, we have to talk more about a shinoi. Yeah, we have to talk more about a shinoi, but I don't think that that's, I don't think that's good enough.
What's the svara that you could, you could do one but not two.
So it could be. Well, so first let's see the halacha, then we'll see. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in 18, we'll see it inside in a second, we'll just say it outside. Right? Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like Rava, that you could crush a lot of them with a shinoi. So the svara could be that using multiple is not enough. It's not enough of a shinoi. That's the, I mean, the, I think that's the svara. You're asking what the machlokas is between Rav Yehuda and Rava. We have to see a little bit more. It could be that Rav Yehuda says you need two shinoyim. One is the way you do it, and one is that you're only doing it to one. And Rava says you only need one shinoy, is that you do it on with the handle to many. That could be, that's maybe the most basic way to explain the machlokas, is that Rav Yehuda thinks you need two changes, is that you need to use the handle and only do it to a little bit, right? And usually when you're crushing something, you're not taking one little peppercorn to crush it. Normally you're doing it more, so it would be maybe it's a shinoi that you're doing one. And Rava says, no, we only need one shinoi. Once you're using the handle of your knife, that's okay. So the Shulchan Aruch here in Source 18 tells us something that's a little bit surprising. Mutter laduch pilpalin, you can crush peppercorns, afilu harbe yachad, even many at the same time, v'hu sheyaducham bikata shel sakin, right, use the handle of the knife, u bikeora, and put it on a plate. Right, usually the way that they used to do it was they used to have like the mortar and pestle thing, yes, where they used to take it and crush it in that special, they had a bowl for it, and they had a special the crushing thing for it. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us you need to use the handle, and you can't use that bowl. You can't use it. You have to put it on a plate, on a flat plate. Nice. So the Shulchan Aruch is basically saying you need two shinois. Two shinois. So on this, everybody's going to ask, because here, we'll see the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, Perush o bikara, or on a plate. I.e., you only need one. The Magen Avraham is, he's not happy with this, that you need both. And what does he say? Sheyaduchem b'shulei hakara dahave shinoi gamur kanal pir sharamam de'i lav diba'inan trei shinuyim. If you say you need two shinuyim, kasha, then it's a problem. Dahave gemara lo hisker lechad shinoi. The gemara only said you need one shinoi, and then the Shulchan Aruch comes along and says that you need two shinuyim. And the Tosefta also says you need one shinoi. So the Magen Avraham says he thinks that what the Shulchan Aruch means, he means or. It's an or. Read the vav as an or. Oh,
there's a machlokas in the Gemara.
Right, but the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like Rava because he says you can use two a lot.
But that's not going against the Gemara.
Well, Rava only says one shinoi.
No, but in the Gemara there was a machlokas. No?
Right. So Rabbi Yehuda says maybe says you need two shinoi.
Right. So
and Rava says you need one. Okay, he's paskening like Rava and then adding on.
Why can't you say he's paskening like a?
Because Rabbi Yehuda said Rabbi Yehuda was very clear that you can't do it on more than one. Tarte Asir. He says, if you do it on more than one, it's Asir. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Afilu Harbe Yachad. Which is like Rava. Rava says, Kevin Mishani Afilu Tuva. You can use a lot. You can crush a lot. I think that's the. It seems he's possibly like Rava. So the Magen Avraham says, well, it must be or because the Gemara never says you needed both.
The Shulchan Aruch was saying, he's really saying, the Shulchan Aruch is saying the Gemara is basically saying the Gemara is. Pulling out the halacha from the Gemara is one.
You think he's combining? Okay, I'm combining them that you need two, but like Rava. I don't know. I think he's passing like Rava. The Magen Avraham clearly says he's passing like Rava, and where did the two Shinuim come from? So, but even still, in the Mishnah Berura, a few more minutes, the Mishnah Berura here says, Ubika'ara, Perish Aval lo yaduch bekata shosakina b'machteshet, right? You can't use the bowl. To crush it in, after Shina b'masha dach b'kata shasakinim mikomalkom b'machteshet mechzei k'uvda dachol. We have another uvda dachol. He says that's the way that the activity is normally done during the week. So the reason that the Shulchan Aruch is not telling us that you need two shinuyim, he's telling us you need one shinui, but to use the bowl is uvda dachol. So use the handle of your knife and use it and just put it on a plate. And now we have no problem. There's one. You have your one shinui, and there's no more uvda dachol problem. And Rav Rimon here quotes that, thus the in source 21, the requirement to grind in a bowl is not due to the law of Shinoi. It relates to the idea that one should not use a vessel which is specialized for the act of Tchina on weekdays. By grinding in a bowl, one avoids the appearance of a weekday activity. It turns out that there's no need for two Shinuyim, but there is a need for one Shinoi, i.e. use a knife handle. We'll talk about the spoon in a second. As well as the need that it not be done in a specially designed vessel, but rather in a regular plate. And so now, what exactly is a shinoi? So the Orach Shabbos tells us, "Avshin is born in source 22. La el she'ein l'rasek perim mishum iser tochem mikol makom im osezo b'shinoi. If you use an alteration, kigon shemirasek bikata sakin, like the handle of a knife. Oh, that's a type of bikaf. Use this your spoon. Hareze mutter. If you use your spoon." To crush something, that's mutter, because I think we mentioned this also in one of the last 2 weeks. It's difficult even to use a spoon, right? Because everything, try crushing an avocado or something, everything's moving around. That's a very not normal thing. Aval risuk banana avocado b'shinei mazli, but with a fork, eino nechshav shinoi. With a fork, that's not a shinoi. V'hareza aser, and it's aser. And in Lamed Bet, I thought this was a great footnote. He said pashut. It's obvious. Obvious. But why is that obvious? Because people, whenever how do you make egg salad or tuna? Right, you take your fork and you use your fork. That is not a shinoi. It's not going to be a shinoi. That's what you always do. So that's so don't use your fork, but you can use the spoon and. The conclusion of Rimon here, and it says in Source 23, in light of this, one may grind anything on Shabbos. Right, really, what we're saying is when you use a shinoi, it's mutter. You can do anything when one does so using a knife handle, but one may not do so with a specialized vessel or utensil, just in a bowl or plate on a table and the like, right? Use something that you normally wouldn't use to, don't take the bowl from the machine that you would normally use, the food processor. Don't take your food processor and mash it in that bowl, because that's uvda dechol. That's the bowl that's normally used for such a thing. Right? Right. Don't do that. He says, like Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, that strictly speaking, one may also crush with a spoon, and also this is the view of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, so using a spoon is okay. And if possible, now we're going to have if possible, one should do so proximate to the meal. Right, again, where everything close to the meal, almost anything close to the meal is going to help us out, so do it closer to the meal. So now we have... We started off with a quick summary. Now we'll finish off with a quick overview of Tochein. Tochein, the Shulchan Aruch says, is cutting something very finely. It's usher to do on Shabbos. The Rama says, mutter to do it if it's la'alter. The Shulchan Aruch said, maybe better to cut pieces into slightly bigger, but at the end of the day, alpidin, mutter la'alter. So anybody who wants to make a salad where you're going to be cutting into small pieces... like we said, better to cut them into maybe slightly bigger pieces. Even if you didn't, apidin, that's okay. Do it before the meal, right? Don't make the salad in the morning before shul for lunchtime, or after lunch for a few hours in advance for suda shlishit. That's not miyad, and then there's going to be a tochen problem. That was really shir one. Two, we talked about the bananas. And here we talked about how using a shinoi would be okay, and it's not considered to be borer. Maybe better to do approximate to the meal, like Rav Rimon says, but using the shinoi is okay. We talked about for eggs, for anything that's not going to do like karka, that's not going to be tochen. You really could cut that as finely as you want. You could take a fork and crush your egg. You don't need a shinoi because the crushing thing in the first place wasn't tochen. You could take, I saw that quoted, so you could take your fork and crush the egg because the crushing an egg in the first place wasn't tochen. So you don't need to do a shinoi. In general, if somebody wants to really be careful, the suggestion is always going to be do it before the meal. Don't use the kli miyucha. Don't use like any sort of special grinder for, use a knife, right? So before the meal, use a knife. And what else? Cut it into slightly larger pieces than a normal, right? If you basically do those three things, you should really avoid all problems. And really, if you're talking about like crushing anything, use a shinoi, and you would also avoid all problems. But like we said, for some things you don't need a shinoi for. But if you wanted to use the shinoi for that, then that would also avoid all problems. So that was the Malach of Tochen. Okay, any questions? Any?